Welcome to my mind space, my time, place. Welcome to my mind space, my time, place. Oh yeah. Welcome to my mind space, my time, place. Welcome to my mind space, my time, place. Oh,
greetings from Earth, and welcome to the Creative Cosmos. This is your old friend, Christopher Morse, broadcasting to you from Urbana, Illinois, the heart of the Midwest. It's a beautiful city, beautiful town, and my transition from the Twin Cities to Urbana has been good for my overall spiritual well-being. And part of the evolution of the work that we're doing here at the Creative Cosmos is bringing this show, the Creative Cosmos radio show, back with a new spin on it, with a new twist, you know, where a little more like how the Creative Cosmos website is, anything goes, you know, where you're not going to always get what you expect. It's not going to always be just one person droning on and on. It's going to be a variety of things, you know. I'm going to have Shab back. He's going to co-host with me a lot. And going to get back to putting some of my songs into the mix. And we're going to have some of Shab's compositions into the mix. He's quite a classical and jazz composer. He's written a bunch of cool tunes. And we're going to get some of those into the mix. And, you know, I've got buddies and friends all over the place, artists, musicians, philosophers, writers, and we're going to just get people talking about some of these metaphysical issues that are starting to become more prevalent in a society that is truly seeking something different, something that can help what almost seems to be an invisible cloud that's enveloped everybody, kind of a despair or a darkness or a, you know, this fear that gets perpetuated often on TV or even in the alternative news sites. You know, I'm seeing this is also part of why Creative Cosmos is taking the approach it's going to, because, you know, yeah, there's a lot of dark things out there, you know, all the programming and the aggression and the injustice. And it's good that a lot of the alternative news sites on the web have taken this on and highlighted some of this. But we also must take care not to make that an alternative mindset where we feel like we're always threatened by the conspiracy and that we're always up against it, battling with little hope of success because these evil masters are just too powerful. You know, if you're thinking about astral entities giving them cult power to wield over the helpless person who never even gets clued in on what's going on because they're locked into bombardment of brainwashing since day one, and you just focus on that, it does seem pretty bleak. But the good news is that it doesn't have to be that way for those of us on the path or those of us seeking truth beyond all limitations, beyond all boundaries. And this is a good time to just kind of go over a little bit of the original Creative Cosmos idea. You know, I feel myself that I'm rejuvenating with the spring in 2007. I've had many trials and tests of my own faith in the last year or two. And I'm happy to say that I've been able to keep my center and follow my heart and although sometimes the road was rocky, and you didn't know what was going to happen, I didn't know what was going to happen next. You know, things really do sort themselves out, and you might have to overcome some fear, but often the result of change is even better than what you might have preconceived. You know, the universe brings you new things and brings you things that meet your spiritual needs each moment. And, you know, we can't always choose what that is, but we can always choose to keep a meditative state and realize that underneath it all, we're being shown exactly what we need to be shown. And that will help us to learn the lessons we're meant to learn. You know, I'll give a little background to Creative Cosmos. I spent many years in university life playing the trumpet and studying trumpet with great trumpet teachers. You know, I went to Central Michigan University, got a music ed degree, studied with Professor Paul Wilworth, who is very scholarly and inspired me to bigger and better things. And then later I went to Michigan State, got a master's degree in music performance, trumpet performance, and studied with a great orchestral teacher, Rich Illman. And he's a really strong player and confident, and really showed me the ropes orchestrally, taught me what it was all about, and really helped broaden my horizons in a artistic sense as well. So that's about 6 years, and then between the bachelor's and the master's, and then I went away to be a graduate assistant at the University of Illinois, and I had a really fine teacher that opened that doorway for me and gave me the possibility to come there, Dr. Mike Ewald, just an awesome player, really great guy, and I learned a lot playing gigs with him and studying with him. You know, but there was something in my life that didn't feel right at this point. You know, I started getting a more and more narrow focus because of how schooling tends to specialize everything. And I felt kind of locked in, like I didn't know exactly what was wrong. And somewhere along the way in these years, I met a good bunch of friends, and they also introduced me to two other great teachers that were around. One, Ray Sasaki, trumpet teacher, whose grandfather was of the Zen tradition. And Tom Wirtle, otherwise known as all of our good friend Shab, who was the head of the jazz department at the time. And I started hanging out with these dudes. And they started opening my mind to a whole new world of possibilities. And, you know, I had to realize that it isn't all about the mind. It isn't all about the knowledge you accrue going through these classes. And it isn't all about just imitating in a perfect way. You know, what I had been missing was the soul, was the depth, was the heart song. And these guys helped me to awaken that there was much more to life than what I had thought there was. And my heart began to open, and I began my own quest for realization and my own creative voice. So I left what I was doing and went to Minneapolis, Minnesota, and spent pretty much 6 years there. You know, in the first year, it was just getting used to living in the big city and leaving what I was familiar with. But I was left alone in a room with a guitar, and I put two and two together and started playing the guitar, and realized that one of my purposes in life, and one of my greatest joys would be to write songs. And so I began writing songs. And the first song I ever wrote was called The Kitty, about my cat, Yinwards. So why don't we just give a listen to that right now. Here it is once again, The Kitty. Enjoyed the tune, The Kitty. And we'll go on with the story of how Creative Cosmos was born. And so, after I moved back to Minneapolis, as I said, I began writing tunes. And as I wrote the tunes, I could feel literally the center of my chest feel like it was opening wide up. And I just felt such a spring of joy coming forth in me. And you know, I referred to one of the teachers I had earlier, Ray Sasaki, and one thing he really taught me about being an artist was that it can't be contrived. You've got to wait for inspiration. You know, you've got to create a space of where inspiration can come and move you, and you're ready to follow. You know, so I created a whole environment of having paper where I could write or draw ready, and my computer ready where I could record sound in a second. And so over the next couple of years, I lived in a basement in a house with some friends in Golden Valley, Minnesota. And for work, I was teaching a whole bunch of music students, and yeah, that was a real nice thing. I kept about 20 students and had a whole bunch of good kids that did really well on their instruments. But really, I was in my own life, I was focusing almost exclusively on my own externalization of my nature. You know, I began to search, well, what is my nature? What am I born to do? What do I do naturally? What do I do effortlessly? You know, and as you've seen on the website, creativecosmos.org, there's plenty of drawings that I've done. And, you know, I didn't know I drew. Like, I almost had a doctorate in college, and I never really had discovered my drawing. You know, I knew, but see, this is how sometimes in your youth there are clues to your nature that maybe you forget about, but they're still there. Because I used to doodle all the time in school. You know, I could catch on real quick, so I always learned things and had really, really fast and easily, and had tons of time just to do nothing in school. So I often sketched and doodled and, you know, made funny little characters or interesting scenarios or comics or something like that. And, you know, I did that a little bit as I went through school, but it got completely buried because I got into a real narrow-minded focus. See, this is even as a musician, I was getting into a narrow focus, something that's already tending to be creative. Now, what about people who aren't even in a creative field at all? You know, they get really focused on maybe their work or the details and lose that track of their nature. And that is one of the big sources of unhappiness. And that's how the TV world, the false matrix world, pulls us in. And we believe in that, and we forget about ourselves and our soul and our innate potential. But it's there, and it's always waiting to be uncovered. And I begin to see the creative cosmos take shape because I realize, well, I don't have to be just a trumpet player. I don't have to be just a visual artist, or I don't have to be, you know, just a songwriter. That I love to do all these things, and all these things are an expression of my heart. You know, and there isn't really a place where that fit in the world. There wasn't a notch where I could stick that. It was unique, what I was feeling. And so that's how I began to see, well, what is my way? What is the way that makes me feel good? What do I have to share with the world? It's creativity, the creative process as a means of self-exploration. You know, all of it. And I looked at myself, and what were my influences? Well, Western art, you know, being a musician and studying music, I studied all of history, and also not just in music, but in visual art and architecture. And, you know, going through school for so long, you get really trained in the Western art culture. And in that sense, my university experience was very valuable because I had good people around me and good friends, and we went farther and farther, and we listened to all the music for ourselves, and we read all the books for ourselves, and then, you know, when I made the leap to the Eastern Way through Schaub and Ray's influence, you know, I read all the Eastern books and all the metaphysical books and meditated all the time and wrote down all my experiences and felt, as I recovered my past lives and healed my emotional wounds and deprogrammed my mind and opened my heart and started proactively shining my light into the world. Eastern wisdom, I loved it so much and resonated with it so much, and the teaching of Zen and the need for meditation in order to find peace. And I felt, boy, this is what I'm here to do. This is what I'm here to share with the world and to share with my fellow human, is this perspective, because it was such a soothing balm to the aches of my soul. And it's such a joy for me to realize that anything you might dream or hope for is true and more if we can open our eyes to reality as it is and not be clouded by that which draws us outside of ourselves. And these are the fruits of my solitary meditation. I almost see this time period in Minneapolis is like a Tibetan period for me, where I went up into the cold Northland on my own in search of the truth of who I was and what I was here for. And the joyous thing is, I discovered it. I found it. I found it. And it wasn't always easy, and it took courage to stick it forth and to stick with it or carry it forth or to, you know, do it. Because not everyone's going to agree with you that it's a good idea, you know. A lot of people around me didn't understand what I was doing. You know, I had a promising university professor career just practically delivered up to me, and I walked away in search of something I didn't even understand. But I tell you now, years later, and coming back around, I wouldn't have it any other way. Because now, as a musician, I have that voice that I was missing before. There are no pieces missing. There is not a sense of incompleteness. And my mind isn't constantly running over alternative scenarios. That I've expressed it. I've gotten it out. I've discovered my center, and I'm able to rest there and remain there and continue to be aware, alert, and creative, and to do this, what is my purpose. So I think a lot of us out there have to consider that, and look even into your own past for things that you used to enjoy that you don't really do anymore, or things that make you happy. It's not just what you think about something, it's how you feel about something. It's what resonates with your energy. If you feel comfortable, if you feel happy, then you're moving in the right direction. You know, there may be something that you do just a little of that is being neglected with your attention because maybe you don't feel it has the worth. This is another reason I wanted to create the Creative Cosmos, or to bring that out to the world, is to be one who tells people, anybody, that what you create does have worth. You know, whether you make money off it or not is irrelevant to the value of your expressing your soul. And often, if we have these pains of the past or something, a good way to be free of them or to get to know them so we can heal them is to express them, you know, maybe to write them down or to create even a macabre work of visual art or anything. It's okay. It's not to be judged. It's to be nurtured and encouraged. And when you get strong in that yourself, you can encourage others to do the same. Because one of the things that has happened is our wills have been crippled. You know, to create, you have to be able to bring something from the unknown and bring it here and be able to stand by it and say it stands on its own. And one thing, you know, many people might criticize or try to tear it down, or there will be other people who will enjoy it and appreciate it. You know, some will like it, some will hate it, some will say this, some will say that. They'll go on and on and on and on. And you have to learn how to be solid in yourself and have confidence and not doubt that inner inclination to bring that out into the world. That newness that confounds is part of the fun aspect of being an artist, is say, voila, check this out. What does that do to you? What does that do for you? You know, and then a lot of what I bring out on the Creative Cosmos is, you could say, is visionary art, maybe along the lines of Alex Gray, who I admire greatly. I really like what he does, and you know, I do it in a different way in the cartoons, or you know, drawings or sketches of the visions that I see. But if you would look at some of these pictures and meditate on some of these pictures and just open up to them, to let them reflect deeply in you, they are designed to provoke your own memories of who you are and where you come from. It's a way to encode spirit into a 3D package, to pack as much as possible into a manifested work. And this is also part of the experimentation that goes on as artists. See, there is no way to do it, no specific way to do it. There is nothing right, nothing wrong. You just experiment. You see what you come out with and you keep going. And back to the Creative Cosmos story a little bit. So yeah, I started putting all these pieces together, and and seeing that they had to be a whole, that I could not reduce things beyond creativity itself. And I began to feel that spirit of creativity. By becoming a creator, I opened to the spirit of creativity, which I believe to be the Holy Spirit, that which comes upon you, fills you with bliss and inspires you to shine your heart to the world. It's a distinct feeling. It's a character. It's a personality. It's a being, so to speak. It's not impersonal. It's a joy. And one way you can link into it is with the Om meditation. So I want to, in these shows, bring forth many meditations and meditation techniques, everything that I've been exposed to, so I can share them with the public so they can try them out and see if they do anything good for them. And you know, some kind works for some and some work for others. But one of the most effective that I've found and good feeling is the Om meditation. We'll now begin the Om meditation. I will speak instructions as I do it. Follow along and you will learn. There are three distinct syllables, the ah, the oo, and the Om. And then once you hit the just really let it vibrate inside you and your whole body. Just feel the vibrations envelop your whole body. Om. And just feel yourself humming, an organic vibrancy whose rising higher and higher into spirit. Om. 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 As you do this, your energy will begin dispersing. It will grow. It will move into the subtler dimensions. And what we're doing, on the one hand, is raising our vibration and our frequency, which can bring us into the astral realms. If we do this meditation regularly, guaranteed you'll be able to perceive things in the lower astral realms, the fourth dimension that's just out of sight, you know, where people go after they die, where some angels and guides are, and various beings that only live there in the astral realms. Just about anything you can imagine from that ever existed on the earthly plane is there. Always, you know, not in a time sense, because time is not so rigid there. And if you do this Om meditation for a while, you may feel that spirit take over. And if you feel it rise within you to go in a little different direction, let it go, because I discovered this method. Of course, it's existed before in ways and been documented before. And I felt this method from the inside out because I was possessed with the spirit that showed me that Om meditation is not just a serious thing, you know, where you might imagine a bunch of monks just doing like what I did a moment ago, just Om, and that's kind of it. But when filled by the Spirit and invigorated with life force, it changes in quality. It beckons you. It calls you. It fills you. It connects you to the blossoming lotus. Om. 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 Full of gratitude and grace and joy and love for the beauty of the garden. Om. My dear child, you've returned. My dear love, I am thrilled that you've come home. It's breaking because it's so full of poignancy. I am breathed. I am one with the heartbeat of existence. The pulse that invigorates and moves all things moves also me. That's a great meditation that you can use any time of the day, maybe early in the morning when you wake up for 10 minutes or before you go to bed for 10 minutes. If you want to have great dreams, you could do the Om meditation just before you go to sleep and then go into sleep, and you'll be guaranteed to have some wacky dreams, maybe some dreams that will have symbolic meaning for your soul's journey. Sometimes our guides set up scenarios and dreams to show us lessons that we can carry to the waking stage and apply to our life. There's been many things. You know, one thing I told you earlier is that I set up an environment where I could move with my creative inspiration at a moment's notice. And I did, believe me, whether I was in the shower and got a tune happening or whether I was fast asleep, I moved immediately. One of my tunes, Tomorrow's Future, I heard in a dream. You know, I was carrying a boombox around with me, and I was walking down the street, and eventually I came across some people that I knew, and I said, "Hey, check this out." And I pressed play on the tape, and it turned out that on the tape was a song that I wrote as the person in the dream sometime that I didn't even really remember doing. But it was distinctly my style, and I woke up immediately and tried to recover as much of it as I could because I feel like it's one of my really good tunes. You know, there's a little like, boom, boom, ba boom, ba boom, hey, 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 ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch- Got to build a better future. Well, anyway, so I recorded as much of it as I could, and then, you know, just if I didn't have it exactly right, I didn't worry about it, because that's one thing with being an artist or bringing a vision from, say, the astral realm to the worldly realm, is it's bound to be a little different than where it started, because it's a different place here, and the best we can do is come up with a nice presentation, you know, as to come as close as we can and hopefully get a bit of that spirit packed into our art or in our music, where when somebody is exposed to it, it'll lift them up. And this is a very significant point, is that the artist and the musician they are doing spiritual work. You know, they're bringing to you, like, music is almost a direct line to spirit. It's one of the remaining places in our modern world where people come together and they have peace and they're tuned into something which uplifts everybody. You know, that these people do great work in our society and they should be supported and encouraged. And that's one of the beauties of this town, Urbana, is it's a very artistic community and they do support art and music, and it's a very cultural area. Of course, being in the center of a triangle between Chicago, St. Louis, and Indianapolis, it makes it a very unique place. It's a great place to be. I'm glad to be here. And I'm glad to be doing the Creative Cosmos radio show. And believe me, we'll cover all the topics, all the metaphysical areas, from auras to energy centers, your chakras, to your past lives, and how to really remember them all and recover them all and integrate the knowledge you had in those lives into this life. You know, into telepathy, the occult powers, how to communicate with the dead, and how to shine your light and goodness into a world that desperately needs it. So thank you for joining me. I'll be wrapping the show up now. Please visit the website, creativecosmos.org. Yeah, I'm always updating it and working on it and bringing new things to light. And it's a great pleasure to be able to share with you. And I appreciate so much you tuning in. And I'll wrap up the show today with the tune I referred to earlier, the tune I recovered from a dream, Tomorrow's Future. Goodbye, everybody. Life goes on.